Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth Straight Up.
Truth Straight Up. And the Truth Straight Up is actually coming out now, thanks to Dr. Fauci's...
The
diary, which, again, I like to emphasize, it's not really a diary. Nobody raided Dr. Fauci's house like they did. You know, like they did with Melania Baron Trump, right? No. It's a government log. It was left in his work computer, right? And it was... Which is inappropriate.
He erased it, but it was on other ones. And JFK found them all.
Right. And so
for a hunt.
The fallout continues. But one of the biggest things we've learned there is what we suspected all along, that Fauci lied. He knew he was lying. He conspired with media and social media organizations and the Biden government to silence, censor, and essentially try to destroy anyone who raised any kind of objections. And there was some extraordinary exchanges, and we'll get some sound bites here over the weekend, where RFK Jr. went on with CNN's Dana Bash. Now, Dana Bash is about as left as you get, right, on CNN. Her former husband, has an actor.
Jeremy
Bash. Yeah, was like a CIA staff person, right?
Well, Democratic operative, I think.
He's a Democrat operative, right? So one would think there would have been a bit of a conflict of interest there. But anyway, they're not married. Not for CNN. But it was extraordinary. And to listen to RFK Jr., who clearly knows what he's talking about, right? You may agree with him, you may disagree with him, but the guy isn't just like spouting stuff off. He's got a depth of knowledge, I would say.
Well, yeah, I mean, to him, it's everything. And,
right.
And Dana Bash.
She has like a journalist kind of thing, right?
She was clearly prepared by the advertisers, as JFK said. Pharmaceutical advertisers and so forth. And she was there and had her lines, which made it a more fun fight. In the end, I think she got TKO'd.
She didn't know what she was talking. I mean, she was just spouting.
He said, you're a parrot.
You're a parrot. Yeah, you're just spouting lines. And in a way, probably she did her job. I mean, the advertisers just want people pushing back against the anti-vax and things like that.
Well, here's the way it works. If the right has a story that the left hates, the first thing is pretend it doesn't exist. It used to be at one time when New York Times person said, if it isn't in the New York Times, it's not news. And they could kill virtually any story by refusing to do anything on it. Then came Swift Boat Veterans, God, that was a long time ago, but all of a sudden news could get out another once. So it's plausible deniability. And the next one is, okay, we got to respond. It's not working. It's going everywhere. So now we must go on attack. And if you go on attack, there's only one response allowed. Only one thing. I don't care what it is about what, sky is blue. How are the Broncos going to be this season? It's Trump. It's Trump's fault. It's Trump. What about Trump? Bernie Sanders going, yeah, but what about those 12 times Trump did this? And it's always Trump. And Dana Bash is the same thing. Well, what about Trump? It's his fault. And it's always the same. But this is the best of all worlds. So now they've gone into their, okay, we got to fight back. But they're getting slaughtered. They're getting just slaughtered. Dana Bash got TKO'd. Other ones that have tried to, they did one Washington Monthly, printed some article about some idiot, and he sounded like a fool. And Rogers won on ESPN.
Yeah, even Rogers is going after. Well, the thing is again, what we now know is that even Dr. Fauci didn't believe the lies. And we now know the fawning media over him, the corrupt ties between the media and Dr. Fauci. And they're still trying to kind of just push this. So,
one of the things that if you watch any of the hearing, of course, they go to the Republicans and Democrats and Republicans, and some are good from like Lanford of Oklahoma sucks as a human being. But of course, even then, a couple of the Democrats on the committee didn't show up. They just said, "Nah,
It's too embarrassing.
not going to show up." And therefore, they're more Republicans than Democrats. But the ones that did really made a fool of Blumenthal,
The
Connecticut. They
Democrats, you mean?
just said, "Oh, Dr. Fauci, thank you for lying to us and killing our
Right.
children and
Because I know.
destroying them." No, kind of look, I think you may have been a little much, but no subtlety. It's just pure sycophantism. So it's not very good. It's not very convincing for them
No.
to
He
endlessly praise.
that Dr. Fauci knew, I think, some major things. Number one, that the mortality rate was not even remotely as big as he privately was saying it's not all that bad, and publicly he was making it sound like the entire universe was going to die. He knew that the vaccines didn't work, and yet he continued to push the vaccines. He knew all of these things. He knew the masks didn't work. He knew social distancing didn't work. He knew the lockdowns didn't work. He knew all of that and pushed it anyway. And the problem they have is these are all things that everyone could see in real time with their own eyes. So it's not like anyone's going around saying, "Well, I think the vaccine works." But let
Well,
me
so they've gone to the other thing. They said, okay, it doesn't work for catching the virus. It doesn't for retransmission. Aha! It lessened the symptoms, which is one of those wonderful things since people either got very sick, some people died, other people just had sniffles. You can't tell if it was less. You
Right.
have not the
You don't know
slightest
why
idea. So they
exactly.
make up some statistic of some worthless bullshit study. But two things, it was worthless. All their measures were worthless. It was little more than a really bad flu season. That's what it was. It was a really bad flu
That
season
Fauci created, number
that,
one.
and destroyed the country.
That's
But
right. So we have some of this sound bites. So in this, he really just he takes her to task. So if we could play Thomas, the first one, the Dana Bash is a parrot sound bite.
our job is telling the truth to the American
I
people.
see my job as telling the truth, and the truth is that there is study after study after study. It's one of the most studied things out there in
You're
science,
repeating
and it
it
is
like a
dis.
parrot. You're
So
repeating
are
it
you.
like a parrot.
So
I've
are you.
actually read the science. Let's you
You
and
don't
I
want to. You
come
don't
out
want to.
here and debate the
So you.
science.
I'm not debating this with
Of
you.
course you aren't.
No,
You
because
just
I'm not
all you
debating
know how to
us.
do is repeat things that people told you and say, trust the experts. That's what you did during COVID. Now we know that Anthony Fauci, who was the expert, was lying about everything, about masks, about social distancing, about natural immunity, about the transmission from the vaccine, about the source of COVID. He was lying, and you were punishing people for not trusting the experts. And now you're rolling out the experts again
Yes.
to talk about something that you have no personal knowledge of.
Okay, well, guess what? That is my job to talk to people.
Your job is to
Am I
tell the
allowed to
truth to the
talk?
American
Yes,
public
yes. And my job
and
is
to
to
be
get as much information as I
and to
can. And
maintain a posture of fierce skepticism
what we
toward
were
government
doing
authority.
in COVID and still with regard to these vaccines is getting the best information, the best science that we
I mean, it's just ludicrous. What we are doing in regard to these vaccines is pushing what our pharmaceutical advertisers tell us to push.
Well, after you accused her of not knowing everything, well, that's my job. I don't know anything about anything anywhere, and so what's new? I mean,
Study after study, and there's another point in the interview. He says, "Sean, what study are you talking about?"
well,
He's like,
well,
"Well,
out there.
I've talked to people. I can't think of who offhand." But it is. It's just parody. That was the meme. And then I think, again, he really takes her to task for the media's failure. As he was saying, there had to be fierce skepticism. I mean, and you've talked about the history of newspapers and the media, right? Where actually the job of the media is to make money for the owners, the publishers.
That is the most important. Remember that one.
And so, there is this
We
sort
own
of,
newspapers.
yeah, really, there's this sort of moral or whatever where reporters try to get the truth.
We were in the stand up to the powerful and elevated all
That's right.
bullshit.
Speak for those who don't have a voice, et
That's
cetera.
what they teach you in some school in which they're about to get rid of the degree because it's worthless.
that's what the journalists though wrap themselves in,
Yes,
right? That's what they wrap themselves in. And he points out their complete and utter, not only their failure to do that, but their complicity in pushing stuff that they knew was wrong. So if they're so worried, if Jake Tapper is so worried that he needs to silence and try to destroy anyone who's not wandering around wearing a mask and is not doing the lockdown, well, then why is he having Dr. Fauci over for dinner? Right? If he's so worried about all
of
that.
Well, it's the same with Gavin Newsom when he's closing down the state and all the bars and restaurants, and he's at the French Laundry just drinking
Nancy
it up.
Pelosi getting her hair done. I mean, they all knew it was a lie, right?
Yeah, but not point, for you.
Not for you. And so he really takes it to task on that. So, Thomas, if we could please play the CNN soundbite.
We need to protect our constitutional rights. That is the primary obligation
what
of
does
our
that mean?
Country. Well, during COVID, we completely dismantled our constitutional rights. We began censoring people in violation
okay,
of the First Amendment.
But I'm not, you're saying
you
what not to do. I'm asking what to do. But I want to talk
well,
about
that's something to do. That is the number one priority. We protect the Constitution. The Constitution was
forgive
written.
Forgive me, but you're talking about rights, and I'm asking about a potential public health crisis. That is coming, but I do want to
And one of the mistakes we made in last time was suppressing those rights so people weren't being heard. The doctors who were saying you're doing it wrong were being marginalized and vilified.
Yeah,
and
because again, I really want to move on, but
yeah,
you were saying
you
were
because
yes,
you
I
were
do.
Part of the problem.
No, I wasn't part
yeah,
of the
yeah,
problem.
There was absolute press malpractice. We're allowing your
Mr.
job,
Secretary,
your job is a fierce skepticism
okay.
toward authority. And
yes,
you are doing
I
that. You
I
are
am.
Beating
my
up
job
people
is also,
who are dissenting.
No. Okay. Are you going to, you want to sit here and attack me? Or do you want to have conversations
well, you're sitting
about
here
public
and attacking
health?
Me.
I'm not attacking you. I'm asking questions about how to
and
prevent
let me
the next
the question.
Pandemic.
I'll tell you.
That's what I'm trying to do.
She's like, that was completely, she's flustered there, right? She's like, I want to, she goes, actually, I don't really have a point because I'm making all this up.
I really want to move on. I'm getting killed. I'm getting blown. I can't get out of the corner. Hold on. Let me move to the center of the ring again.
Well, and the problem is, I mean, probably even in her own mind, I mean, she knows that it didn't work, right? She probably
doesn't care.
She doesn't care. And again, and the pharmaceutical companies who are advertising on her don't care either. They just want to get that out. But it's so funny. The media, though, as you said, it's like they still are pushing it. So this is, I want to pull up a still picture. So this is Channel 7. Now, my guess is this is also not just, Channel 7 is the ABC affiliate in town. So I imagine this is it. So this is Channel 7's response to the CNN article. RFK Jr. targets Fauci and pushes medical misinformation in fiery CNN. What freaking medical misinformation? They're still standing by that. He's pushing medical misinformation.
Well, look at the top. Denver 7 News, in attempting to rewrite the history of the COVID-19, Health Secretary Robert Kennedy on Sunday pinned the blame, the pandemic lockdowns, on Dr. Anthony. No kidding.
Yeah, but Dr.
Really?
Fauci himself admitted he called for the lockdowns. It's ridiculous.
Who writes these things for Channel 7?
Right. You know, I guess
Dana Bash.
They talk about they push medical misinformation. Remember back then? It was anything that they did not like was misinformation. Not only that, it was dangerous misinformation.
They were trying to get you to try horse dewormer. Which actually
but the
great.
Yeah, go ahead, Jacob.
It's no, I'm just saying the hydroxychloroquine. I told you about that article on Channel 4.
Right.
The reporter was going from doctor to doctor and beating up on the doctors, saying they were pro hydroxychloroquine. I think these guys are a target for pursuit. I think a whole bunch of people who said, you know, who lost loved ones, they said, you mean we could have had the hydroxychloroquine and you were pushing it away from us? I think they've got some valid issue, and I think they should sue this.
I think that these Dr. Fauci, you know, log entries. I don't think we've seen the last. Let me put it that way: of legal action regarding the COVID response, right? And I think maybe with the TV stations, and I think that's why it's interesting that, again, I really do believe that probably the pharmaceutical companies were pushing that interview with Dana Bash, because I think they would have just as soon ignored it, right? Because they look like pigs. Dr. Fauci looks bad. And I think the pharmaceutical companies, they're trying to resurrect their image. And here's why.
Good luck.
I talked about this a little bit before. So Rev had to get, you know, going to school and high school sports registration. We had to do the annual physical, and they kind of go through the vaccinations. Now, Rev has had the regular scheduled childhood vaccination series.
No.
But they have all these other ones where do you want to update this? There's one for sexually transmitted diseases, all this stuff. And I just say, no. And you can tell anymore that that they're on their heels. And then she said, do you want COVID? And I'm like, no. And she said, well, actually, we don't even carry that anymore. So
it's not good for you. It'll give you a heart attack. So don't.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm going to let you take over. Speaking of Rev, I have to go pick him up. We still have the Bill Maher. This is a pretty funny soundbite talking about Democrat Socialists of America. Okay, Chuck is taking over. I will see everybody on Wednesday. It's all yours, Chuck.
Thank you, Julie.
You're welcome.
Don't rush back. All right, but it's. I think you're right, Jacob. I think. You know, you're not going to be able to sue in Colorado because you'll get a Democratic judge who will throw all your things out. But if people bring cases in Texas and in Florida, Alabama, other red states, I think they've got a real chance of maybe recovering. Where you had doctors who hydrochloroquine, but there are a couple other ones that are very effective. And what did they do? They told you couldn't have it. I had to go up to Wyoming to find a doctor for one of the treatments, and I've kind of forgotten the name of the treatment right now. But I mean, it was a lifesaver, and these doctors wouldn't do it. Now you could understand, I suppose, because if they did prescribe them, they would have to try to revoke their license. But still, you'd want a doctor not go, no, that's no good. That's a horse dewormer. You go, no, it's not. It's been highly effective. Well, you know. I can't prescribe it to you. I lost all faith in the medical professions and the doctors who were treating me. And I have some very good doctors. The only ones that kind of ended up at the end treating more were like Brian Junedeff, who got attacked himself. In fact, we're going to have Brian Junedeff on. He got attacked by Dave Roberts in a sort of nice way back in 2020 on Westward, how he was a contrarian. And against all logic and all experts around the world, he was saying that COVID-19 treatments and everywhere else that they were prescribing were not helpful. And it made him sound like he's a total nutbag. And he got grief from his own partners in his eye clinic and everything else. So it's an amazing kind of process where they really do... how much can you trust anymore? Do you trust what the government, and did you ever trust? Not totally, but a little bit. Did you figure they'd just lie to you? That somebody like Fauci would get on there and say, well, I know it wasn't in a wet market. That was just the amplifier. It had to start in the lab. And then go on TV and say, you're a racist for calling it the Wuhan virus. And they were pretty successful because everybody go, oh, COVID-19, you know, you were afraid to say the China virus or something because the CCP and the legacy media would say, you know, you can't say it's from China, even though it is from China. And he did lie about everything. I mean, just everything. It's an amazing process where they just lie and lie and lie again. I don't know, Jacob, did you have anyone who was personally affected by the lockdowns and prescriptions they put
in? No, but I do know people. They asked me, you know, they were really pushing it on me. I said, I am O positive. I don't need it. I've had COVID. And they were saying, you know, they were laughing at me. I said, I wouldn't put that poison in me. And they were laughing at me. And that guy today is a liver cancer survivor. So I don't know if it had anything to do with his liver cancer, but I'll tell you, he was a healthy man before that shot.
Well, I can tell you, Peter Boyle's a good friend. He'll be on Wednesday, I think, from Sturgis. He was pushing the jab all the way up to, at one point he found I can't do it anymore, and he backed the other way, thank God. But
didn't he have a stroke? Did he not have a stroke?
Yeah. And so did
and is Dr. that
yeah, and Dr. Fauci.
Fauci, yeah.
Yeah, which he didn't tell anybody about. Hit it. And then he said, that should have been redacted. That was my personal medical information. No, it's not. When you're conning everybody, you're saying the vaccines are safe. They were not safe. I mean, they've proven that they were awful. It's like for Rev, they said, well, do you want the COVID shot? Oh, sure. Because then he has myocarditis complications. Yeah, let's give it to Rev. Sure, shoot him up. And we had to get all kind of doctor's notes and play all kind of games. Thankfully, school was nice enough to allow us to eventually, with an enormous effort, not to get him vaccinated.
Let me just tell you one thing that just hit me in the head. Okay. After the COVID shots were given out, the news networks were having a hard time getting sales, commercials. And I remember they saying something that two-thirds of the commercials during the CBS Evening News and the NBC Evening News and so on were from AstraZeneca or from Pfizer or from this. And what they were saying was that as long as they're telling everybody that the COVID shot is good for you, we'll keep advertising.
Well,
and I think that's a case.
How many ads do you see for some obscure ailment? And then they tell you, you want a vaccine for that? I mean, the likelihood that that's an effective ad, that somebody's going to go, oh, yeah, shoot me up for that, whatever the hell the obscure disease is. I mean, there's no purpose to the ads except being able to spend a lot of money on CBS, ABC, and all the rest of them, CNN. I mean, it's obvious they're just buying them off, and it's pathetic. It's just
there's another case. I think I brought it up once before. The Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan forced all the employees to take their shots or be fired. And they were fired. And in the end, all those employees got $250,000 in payment and were given back their jobs if they wanted them. But if you look at the notes from the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan to the doctors, they said for every shot you give to somebody, we'll give you $250. Wow. But if you give them the booster, we'll give you $300. It's there. You can Google it. It's all there. They were paying these doctors to give out the shots. Okay. And now I'll be quiet.
Blue Cross Blue Shield ought to be sued. And once again, it's all upon the judge, and so you can't do it in the Colorado District Court because they're all Democratic judges. But I think, more likely, federally, they're gonna have a tough time because they'll go for in the D.C. Circuit maybe to try to get Fauci and more mostly Democratic judges, but. I think that some of these people in the other places in Florida, I know the Louisiana Attorney General is looking into it, and Fauci gave depositions for some of the cases, and they're kind of pour through those. And where there's a will, there's a way. If they want to indict Fauci, they will indict Fauci. John Eastman, a friend, and he got indicted in Arizona, Georgia, I forget where else, D.C., because they all said, yeah, get Eastman. We'll show him. And so it's now time to get Fauci. And I can't imagine. I mean, those diary entries are just so compellingly awful that here's a guy in his 80s or almost 80 at the beginning of it who just thrilled with his fame, thrilled that Julia Roberts seems to think he's so handsome. I mean, he was just a Twitter with it. Yes, sir. And then he goes in and he explains that, I told Cuomo that he's got to, no, it's de Blasio, he's got to close down the schools and de Blasio's going to close. Why? I mean, he knew it wasn't going to do any good. And it's just the malpractice and the hidden. And just think of how many people have died from getting this stupid vaccine and the boosters to it. And you heard Dana Loesch say, oh, it saved hundreds of thousands. It saved no lives. It costs lives. And there's got to be some penalty for all the people who lied to us, for all the people who forced all. And Fauci, I mean, Fauci deserves, you know, you go, well, he's old. Well, you know, they're happy to put these 90-year-old mafia dons into prison. I mean, I think Fauci deserves a chance to spend some time in our penal system and find out how wonderful it is.
Hey, Chuck. This is John. This is Johnny.
Hey, Johnny.
I had an experience back when I was 6 years old where doctors gave me some medication that caused my blindness. And when we took them to court, they had their lawyers just say, well, he signed the papers. And so they got away with it. And I was surprised how my brothers and sisters were so easily able to just go with what this guy was saying after seeing what happened to me. And they're still voting Democrats. And then when you look at what they did to the Tuskegee Airmen, wanting to see what effects, if they didn't treat syphilis, they knew about this stuff. And it's almost like they just blanked it out of their mind and said, well, the government says so. And I said, hell no.
Well, did you see that? There's Fauci and Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C. go around doors to everybody. And one young man comes back and is just incredibly articulate. 6 months is not enough time to test the vaccine. You're going to, you know, he was great. He was just so articulate and really let him have it.
Man, I would love for them to go back and find that guy so he can just say, see, I was right.
And during that, the extended part of it, he's going, you know, we got to figure out somehow to get these stupid Republicans who are recalcitrant. And, you know, he's thinking of awful things, fire them from their jobs and everything else. To force them to say you can't travel, you can't go on an airplane, you can't do anything else without getting this poisonous vaccine that did you no good. And the Democratic Party, I mean, right now, Trump's in trouble, right? I mean, he's endlessly, he's gotten himself into a forever war with Iran. It reminds me of when Johnson got stuck endlessly. Westmoreland convinced him. Westmoreland was the Dr. Fauci of his time, but a general, to go ahead and bomb North Korea. And he kept on telling North Korea, hey, look, I'll give you billions of dollars and really just say, you know, we'll all go to, we'll all have a coalition. And they all tell him, go screw yourself. Keep on bombing. We don't care. And that's what the Iranians are. So Trump constantly going, they said they'll give up. Oh, they said they didn't give up. I mean, he is looking so bad. But the problem is the Democrats are awful. They have no one any good. No one.
Do you think they have something on these people that causes them to go this direction where they say, well, if this is revealed about me, this is really, I guess, embarrassing or whatever. It seemed like they have something on them.
Well, there's a book called Blackmail America, in which it basically said everybody had something on the other. The mob knew that Hoover was you know, was gay, and he was, and then Hoover had all these things on Kennedy, knowing all of his lovers. And then they knew Roy Cohen was gay, and Roy Cohen knew his so-and-so. And they said, in Washington, it's just a matter of everybody is blackmailing each other. And so there's kind of that nuclear deterrent that they don't go against it because they know that Nancy Pelosi is, you know, corrupt with their stock trades. And then she knows that, you know, some Republicans react. So I think you're onto something. But it's. I think they all are suing each other and or could sue each other. So I don't know why they act like they do, but it certainly has it it's kind of gone. I mean, the trust in Washington is, you know, maybe it should always been zero. I like it better when I didn't believe they're all corrupt.
But I haven't listened to some of these like supposedly Charmaine the God who had Fauci on the show, and they were just kissing up to him like most media. And I haven't yet called those shows to say, have you seen this evidence? And if they did see them, they're so deranged and so in the pocket of these Democrats, where I guess they don't want to get out of the being on the in crowd. So I may not be able to get in, but I'm thinking about, I'm tempted to call in because they were
Which
pushing it.
year do you want to call in?
It's The Breakfast Club is a urban show that's a national show,
Okay.
and Charmaine, supposedly his name is Charmaine the God, he was
Oh,
just
Charlemagne the God, yes. Yeah.
yeah, and that show was just pushing this stuff as if and killing, really like killing the well their own people. It's something like the Margaret Zinger people knowing that, oh, we're going to kill all these babies and stuff like that, and still going for it. And it's like something like, are we just deranged, or is this something that's always been a part of human nature to do craziness like this?
Well, we have to fool ourselves about human nature and what we're all individually capable of, because it's too depressing. It is way too depressing to go through history and we're just slaughtering each other, raping each other, killing, butchering. I mean, it's just human nature, you know, kind of like you've got to make the Indians, American Indians, nice, wonderful people who dance as a wolf. You can't tell them all the torture techniques that the Apaches and the Comanches did, and you know, because you don't go, okay, America broke every treaty they ever had. Well, so did the other side, because that's human beings. You know, we're all awful, and but we gotta pretend that somebody's rich or this. And you go, well, Hitler killed all these people. You know, Mao killed all these people, and Stalin. You know, if you were in charge of the world, would you be exempt from that? Maybe it would be, but maybe not. But I think the Democratic Party is in a heap of trouble. As much as Trump's flailing, I think they're in a heap of trouble, just because they have nobody. They have nobody. Name one Democratic politician that is attractive. You know, Schumer, Newsom, Buttigieg, and you know, they're going to rerun Kamala Harris. That's it. They can't think of anybody but rerunning Kamala Harris. You got to be kidding me. It's pathetic. And the only, I mean, now Denver is going to have their very own DSA congresswoman. And she's crazy, 29 years old, and you know, fully crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, and El Said is going to win in Michigan. At least that's the betting odds are. So they're getting more and more socialist. And you know, Mamdani in New York, they have nobody. So they have to depend on Trump sucks. And you know, people go, okay, Trump sucks. But and you, and what are you offering? They go, oh, we don't offer anything, but we're not Trump. Hey, is that enough? So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, most people think that midterms are going to be a disaster for the Republican Party. I don't think they will be. Of course, I've been wrong before, so I can be wrong again. But I really don't think people are going to pour out. God, we got to get those Democrats in, because they did a great job on COVID, didn't they? You know, they really showed us on COVID, and they you know, they love war, so we know that they're good for a war too, in addition to whatever Trump has started. So I think it's going to be a much closer election than the betting markets have shown. How it'll do in Colorado, I don't know.
But do you think there's a lot of Republicans are complicit? I mean, they're just too like either like too laid back, because you know I'm running my race and I'm just seeing like I put it out there, oh, volunteers and this and that, and I'm just seeing like people saying yes, but no action. So I'm seeing a lot of just being complicit, like, well, if
Well,
it's meant
I
to
think, you know, the
be.
Republican Party is the daddy party. And I can tell, I don't know how many friends I can tell you who are, you know, conservative Republicans. And I'll say, well, did you mail in your ballot? Or did you think, oh, I was going to, but I didn't, you know. Well, you know, they only do it when you can't get away from it. You know, during a presidential election, it's pounding you every second that the election's coming up and have you voted or not. But in a midterm like the one coming up, there isn't that pressure. So I think there are a lot of what you say complicit, because they just go, "Oh, I was gonna, my vote doesn't count," or some other bullshit. So I think there's a large segment. While the mommy party, all the women are very, you know, okay, I put my stamp on my thing, I mailed it in 3 weeks early, and I'm all set. So I think the problem is when you have a non-presidential election, and you can see it in these off-year elections when somebody's died or quit or whatever, and then they have a by-election, and the Republicans get killed. They just get killed, even in districts that are, you know, went for Trump. So I think a lot there is a certain amount of lethargy and complicity that you've kind of indicated regarding that. It's something about that's really strange. Well, I want to talk on another one, and Jacob, you can join in too on this, since Julie's gone. You guys can be my talking companions.
Well, what I heard last night, what was it? Today's Monday. Yeah, so last night, Wayne Allyn Root was on Cunningham, and he was talking about that Trump can do a security emergency and say that all the voting has to be on paper ballot. I don't know.
Yeah, but Wayne Allyn Root's crazy. He's always been
Or
crazy.
and get involved for 90 days. So that would be enough time to force the people, to force the Secretaries of State to go to a paper ballot.
Yeah, they
That would be
would.
pretty interesting.
Yeah, but they
That
wouldn't.
would be.
It'd be a huge war to go to the Supreme Court. Wayne is an interesting character. We've had him on this program various times, but
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
he's crazy. He's totally crazy. So you know. But what do you guys think about jungle primaries? It's a big push. We had a vote 2 years ago and they rejected it. But all the rich guys, which is people like Anne Schutz and the Coors and all the people on the Republican side, as well as now the establishment side of the Democratic Party, who watched Diane DeGette get slaughtered. Now they all want jungle primaries. And they started something called Courageous Colorado. I'm not sure if you've seen that. And it has, oh God, just a parade of the worst people you ever. And they say, "We're going to go on a listening tour." When somebody's telling you they're going on a listening tour, it's corrupt. They're lying to you. They know what they want, and they just want to fool you. So you should go on. You know, you can look it up, Courageous Colorado. And although we just want to listen to people, we want to involve everybody. We just one ballot with everybody on it. It'll be so fair, and everybody will get a shot. What they really mean is the billionaires get to control everything, because you won't know anything about these other candidates. Yet if you don't have a party behind you, then it's just whoever has the most money. And then you know, Anne Schutz will get to decide, and maybe the teachers union will get to decide. But you won't. The only chance you have, if you wanted today, part of the political process, you can be. You can join your local county party, and you can become a PPC and other ones and work your way up. If you have jungle primaries, there'll be nothing for you. You'll have one thing. It's to vote for whoever they choose, and they'll probably choose two. So you go, well, if they choose A, great, and if they choose B, that'd be pretty good too. But they're so earnest, and you can just see the millions that have gone into Courageous Colorado. And you know this fix is in when Eric Sonderman, my least favorite human being, is involved. So Eric Sonderman, who's center left, I guess, wrote a column for Colorado Gazette, or Colorado Politics, which is a paper that's funded by, or a website that's funded by Anne Schutz. And he said, "Oh my God, I can't stand all the money in politics. I can't say we need more moderate candidates. Why moderate candidates who stand for nothing are so much preferable to anything else is beyond me." But he said, I jungle primary, yeah, they bought me, and I'll now for jungle primaries." You can just go ahead.
But no, but well, Eric Sonderman may say that he wants to get all the money, all this money out of politics. Well, which party had to just borrow a mortgage their headquarters just to get $15 million to get through the end of the month? I think it was the Democrats. That's right. They're out of money. They're done. They're done.
But they always have. They can always go to Xin out of China, or get the guy out of Switzerland, or get somebody else and do Act Blue and all these. They have a lot of money. The DNC doesn't have any money, but you can
That's what I'm
see.
saying, yeah.
Yeah, you can just look. Let's see, Colorado candidates, the House and the Senate. Every House candidate that has an opponent and is a Democrat has raised at least $150,000 from the Firefighters Union, Teachers Union, various other ones. The Republicans have like 10,000 that their mother gave them. I mean, it's
Yeah,
just.
but Elon Musk is just he's just promised 100 million, and they're speculating he's going to give more than that. And
They're
USAID is not,
creative. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that won't
USAID,
go to local candidates, but it will go to congressional candidates. And there was a poll given by Democrats, but Hurd is in trouble, and of course Gabe Evans is in trouble, and I think it's one other Republican that's in trouble. So it's going to be a fascinating one, and that's where all the money will go, because there is no contest for state office. There really isn't. I mean, Victor Marks, and
And
that's almost, that's comical.
you USAID is gone, and
Yeah,
all these
good point.
conservatives around the world are winning, the conservative people. But all right.
So it's, if you get conned into going, oh yeah, jungle primary, that'd be great. Then we all get to participate. You don't get to do dog. All you get to do is check off a box between two people, both of them bought off by the richest people possible. And it ends up being extraordinary stuff. I mean, so who are you planning to vote for, Victor Marks? And what's your thoughts?
I guess there's nobody else to vote for. That's
Yeah, I mean,
true.
I can't go for Greg because he's almost like the trip card, because he's a spoiler right there. And I like Greg, but I just don't think he should have jumped in a race. I
Well,
think.
Greg, yeah, Greg is been on this program various times, and I was a big supporter of him and so forth. But he got bought out. I mean, the people who were behind him are not Republicans. The people who were behind him, were all Democrats. If you're a Democrat and you want to make sure, doubly sure, the Republicans were going to lose, then you just put up some candidate as an independent that's got Republican bona fides. And if you find who's behind the layers of who's behind who, who's behind, it's all Democrats. So you might as well vote for the Democrats, vote for Greg. I mean, he just totally sold out. Totally
Yeah.
sold us all out.
And you look at his funds. I mean, he only has like $100,000 compared to Victor Marks' $3 million,
Well,
around 3 million or so.
Victor had 3 million, but he spent it all. I don't know how much he's got now. But Victor, it's kind of like Barry Goldwater in '64. Have fun, say fun things and take fun positions, because you're not going to win, right? There's no way you're going to win, so you're free. You're not sitting there, oh my God, if I say this, they'll all, Kyle Clark will attack me. Oh no. What he's got to do is be on Kyle Clark every night. Because when they, did you guys see the debate with the Republican gubernatorial candidates
Oh yeah.
online?
Oh yeah.
Jacob, did you see it?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. It was a sleepy thing. There's two guys.
Well, but Kyle Clark was just—he was so vicious and so mean. He made Victor Marks likable. He really did. It's the only time I've seen somebody make Victor Marks go, "Oh, yeah, poor guy." So Kyle Clark—if Victor Marks had to pay Kyle Clark to attack him on his show every night, because that's the only way he can get votes. And all the other candidates. Okay, here's a quiz. Now you guys are knowledgeable guys, and no politics and so forth. Who's a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate?
I don't know. A milk carton, as far as I know, is a milk carton.
Mark Basley. It's Mark Blaisley is the answer.
Yeah.
And Mark's a nice enough guy. I like Mark, and I think he'd have on the program also. But nobody knows who he is. I mean, you know, he's got $125 to I don't know, to do what, buy lunch? And I mean, it's sad. It's sad. And I can't, you know, and then, oh, AG, what's the guy's name from, he's a AG from some outlying county. And then Secretary of State is the guy they call the WIC or the Tory, real skinny guy that's crazy. But none of them have a chance in the world. And they put up debates, they're real kind of a debate. What are we debating for? And we're gonna get Phil Weiser. That guy's a moron. I mean, he was the dean of CU at CU Law School. He'd never been in the courtroom.
And the they made him
the AG, and now he's on to be governor. I mean, come on. he's gonna be awful. And our present Secretary of State's gonna move over to the AG's office. And she's totally corrupt and dishonest.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so sad. It's just so sad. And I don't see it changing anytime in the near future, except there is one exception. There is one exception. If they pass the full Save America Act and they mandate that you know, we don't need Wayne Allen Root's presidential proclamation. If the SAVE Act is in, it does away with mail ballots.
Mail ballots.
Yeah, and that would give us a chance. That would finally give us a chance to win, because they corrupt that so badly. And then they always do an audit. You know, once it's, you know, so they get tons of people who aren't really registered. They sign their a name to it. And then they don't even check the names, right? And so, but once it goes into the ballot box, why bother? Why rig it? Say, so, oh, it turned out the machine didn't change his vote. Woo! We have the gold standard. And then you'll have some idiot Republican going, oh, yeah, Ken Buck, it's a gold standard. We love the way we get cheated. We love being cheated. All right, since we got a couple minutes, what do you guys think of Sophie Cunningham? What do you think of Sophie Cunningham? She's a player who kind of is in the WNBA and is kind of tackling the people who attack Caitlin Clark. And she stood out in favor.
Oh, yeah.
And she's actually attractive looking. I mean, you know, there are not too many WNBA people who are.
Yeah.
But there was great yesterday. It's so much fun. So she was defending some player. And the player just elbowed her, you know, wham in the face, and the refs called that foul on the on the offensive player. It was wonderful. And then they went to the cameras and reviewed it. Go, oh, that was a good slog. Yeah, it's a foul against Cunningham.
Well, that seemed to be kind of hypocritical. Why don't they just say, just let all males in at the so for the pretend women, just let all.
Yeah.
Just mix it up there a little bit.
Yeah, let's get some 7-footers in there. And, you know, oh, yeah, I'm a girl. No question about it. I'm a girl. It's hilarious. And then they have all these coaches. And then they had, this was wonderful. You know, I didn't like the WNBA before now, and now it's kind of fun. So they had some of these girls, teenage girls, who were backing Sophie Cunningham at the Seattle Storm. And then all the fans... who are all gay or pro-gay or whatever, you know, started harassing him. And then they had a co-owner, this big old dyke, start screaming at the girls. And she is the wife of an even bigger...
Yeah, I remember that,
Who used to be with Microsoft. Yeah. She was screaming at him, denigrating him. And so they had to put about the ownership, which is really her wife, you know, and said, wait. We want to make a welcoming atmosphere for all. You go, oh, yeah, those WNBA games are very welcoming and everything else. All right, guys.
People should just people should just stop going to these games outside the Indiana game. Just let you know Caitlin Clark be that magnet for the fans, and then everybody else, they just have an empty stand. I guess they'll get the message one day. So
yeah, maybe. Well, the NBA pays for it all; they subsidize the whole thing, so
that's true.
They can afford it. All right, guys. Well, this has been fun. We're gonna have to do this again when Julie leaves. open the show up to some of our great callers and people. All right, guys. Thanks very much. Thanks for joining in. And we'll see you guys Wednesday. Everybody, take care.